I've called this setting our feet on the ground and our hearts in heaven. We've heard of people who are too heavenly minded to be of earthly use. You can never be too heavenly minded, but your feet must be firmly here, but your heart must be set on things that are above, where there's no corruption and no stealing. That was brought home to us when vandals have twice broken into our place at the Colo recently, and I was thinking, things aren't safe here on earth anymore. It doesn't matter if you're right out in the sticks and where you are, but things are safe and secure, as Rosemary reminded us in her session this morning, very safe and secure forever and ever with the Lord. I'm not going to keep you long. What I plan to do is simply to go through the warnings and then some encouragements to leave with you. I'm going to use the words of Scripture, picking up the things we've all talked about. There seems to me very little to say after all that we've heard. You've had a great feast. You're tired physically. Your mind is chock full. This is like picking up the menu and looking at the menu again just to remind you all that you've feasted on over the weekend, and take that reminder with you. You know, you can look back at the menu and say, wow, that was a meal. So just, first of all, you know a book called Games People Play? Has anybody ever seen that? My husband brought it home one day. Oh, this is great, you know, some more card games and things for the kids. And then I had a look at it. It wasn't about that at all. It was about the games we play with people, with each other, the way we manipulate each other, the way we manipulate to get love or attention, all sorts of incredible ways. It's very, very humbling when you see yourself there on the page manipulating the people around you. You know, the poor, pathetic, far be it from me, you choose yourselves first, dears. You have what you want. Don't worry about me. And of course then everybody says, oh, no, no, Mum, you have it first. You know the story? There's all sorts of ways we manipulate people. May I remind you that we can't play games with God or with His Word, and we can't manipulate Him. We may deceive ourselves, but we never deceive Him. We may even deceive others. But let's ask Him now, though we're tired, to just make these words His own words, burn them into our hearts and minds, and not to play with them or slide around them and to respond to them. John's all black and white, isn't he? He's dealing with black and white areas. He's not dealing with grey areas. There are grey areas where we disagree on things, but he's talking about the things that are essential, that comes out so often this time. He's talking about the black and white, hate and love, darkness and light, truth and lies, God and the devil. He puts the two opposed to each other because these are the issues he's dealing in. 1, chapter 2, verse 3. We know that we have come to know him, that's Jesus, if we obey his commands. That was one of our tests. It comes again, but that we know that we've come to know him. We can test this if we obey his commands. Am I obeying his known commands? Chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. What's strong words, as Sheila said, most of us would never wantonly harm or hurt anyone. But if we hate, we harm ourselves most desperately, and we are a murderer in our hearts. I don't need to add anything to that. Those are God's words. I would never use words like that. They're his words to us. Let us make sure there is no hate in our lives or hearts. Chapter 2, verse 22. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. We're not in the light if we deny Christ's deity, his virgin birth, all the things that Rosemary talked about, these checks, all those things about Christ, if we deny any of those, then we are not his. Chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Now, I didn't deal with this in my talk because I was so keen to talk about the tests, but I think it's something vital to talk about these days. It talks about the world. He says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean the world that Jesus died for. He so loved the world. That's the people in the world. This is talking about the world as a world system. That part of it which comes under the devil's control. All that's in the world, the materialism, the lust of sinful man it talks about, and the cravings and the boasting of what he has and does. Don't set your heart on any of those things. That's what materialism is about. And oh, beware of your children. It's fed to them the whole way through in every commercial. You owe this to yourself. You deserve so-and-so. Look at so-and-so. He's the wise man. He's getting a lottery ticket. Do the bingo and get rich. You know, it goes on and on, doesn't it? And it gradually filters through into their minds. However much you teach them, they only get Sunday school on Sunday and a little bit of teaching, but the whole time, if they see much of that, it filters through that whole attitude, materialism that's in the world. And if we're going to be the Lord's, we cannot love the world. Jesus says you cannot love God and mammon. It's one or the other. Mammon is the world, on the other side is God. Set your hearts on things above. Beware, oh beware, of being touched by materialism. Oz Guinness says it is one of the things that's filtering into the church and is fossilising it from within, that people haven't been aware and warned about the dangers of the world. Now, when I was a girl, and probably when some of you were young, you know, people always talked about the world. In my day, was it you never went to the films, you never went to a concert, and you didn't wear lipstick, and you didn't go to dances, and there was a whole string of things. You were worldly, and you were going through the devil's trapdoor if you went near those places. Now, I don't think that's true, but I do believe we have become very careless, and we've just let the views and the ideas around us, as the society we live in has moved from pseudo-Christian to neo-pagan, we have not been aware what's happening. And because the sort of standards in the world around us were on the whole the same as ours when we were young, we haven't realised that the standards are totally alien now. And that's what we've got to be aware of. And that's what we've got to be aware of and careful of for our children. Sorry, I didn't mean to go to town on that one. We have to listen to these words and these warnings. You know, when I was going to Bible study fellowship, we were studying Matthew's Gospel. And we came to the words of Jesus, where he said, if you do not forgive, then neither will I forgive you. Well, if you'd hit me with a hammer on the head, you couldn't have given me a more terrible shock. I realized that there'd been something that my husband had done that I'd thought I'd forgiven, but it was constantly coming back in my mind. I hadn't really forgiven him, and I was devastated. And I had to go home and deal with it. And worse still, as somebody who's used to being somebody who stands up there and does the speaking, I had to stand up, the Lord told me, in the sharing meeting and confess what I'd done. And oh, the release when that was done. I had to act on the word. Act on these words. As you go home, if anything has come home to your heart, don't leave it. Just not being moved, but being changed. How terrific. That song was fantastic, Rosemary. It couldn't have been more perfect. Right, those are the warnings. Now the encouragements. I think we have to go home to encouragement. We've had rather heavy warnings this weekend. You must excuse me, I'm having great difficulty with my eyesight. And I can't see at this level. I sort of need to be somewhere up here, even with my glasses on. So I have problems trying to read the scriptures. Chapter 2 and verse 20. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. Now, for those of us who are the Lord's here, that's true. I pray and hope it's true of all of you. You know the truth. And Jesus said, if you know the truth will set you free. You won't be bound by this and that. So there's an encouragement. You have an anointing. You have the seal of the Holy Spirit of promise within you. And you know the truth. We have to live by it, though. One encouragement. Chapter 3, verse 19. A wonderful, wonderful encouragement. Very necessary to take home if we're feeling low, if the scripture's really been hitting us over the head and flailing us this weekend and we feel beaten and bruised. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. Does your heart sometimes condemn you? Do you sit there counting off all the things that are wrong inside you? I had a friend and she wrote to her sister and she listed 34 things that were wrong with her. So her sister wrote back and said, I've got a 35th, you're too introspective. Well, that may be true. But if your heart's condemning you, look at the tests. See if you're walking in the light and if you really are. This, says John, is how we know when our heart condemns us, how we've got an objective test, that it needn't condemn us, that we are the Lord's, we are living in Him, we are serving Him. Don't forget that. When your heart condemns you, God's greater than our heart. He knows everything. When you go home, perhaps, I know your minds are halfway there now, wondering what you're going to have for tea and how the kids have got on and whether Dad put Johnny into his warm clothes and, you know, all the things. But don't forget. Don't forget when things all pile in upon you, if your heart condemns you, remember that verse. Chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For everyone born of God has already overcome the world, has overcome the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. When we believe that and when we have his faith in our hearts, then we can overcome. Isn't that great? We can take that home with us as a promise and assurance we can overcome. Now I have a break for a small Greek grammar commercial again. It seems to happen fairly frequently, but this one rather excited me when I went back to my Greek Testament and had a look at it. There are two words for know used in John's Gospel. For the record, one is gnosko and one is edomai. And I'm sure Nick would tell me that I didn't pronounce them correctly. But one means, gnosko means to come to know by experience. And you often notice, if you have some of the newer versions, it talks about coming to know. Edomai means to know as a fact. Now, all through the first chapters, he's talking about we've come to know, and he's going through these things. When John gets to the end of his epistle, we've gone through it all and we've applied the test, and he uses consistently the verb edomai, we now know as a fact. So I'm going to read that, and I'm going to read in each case where it says no, we now know as a fact, because that's what the Holy Spirit has said through John here, and we can go in that assurance. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God, that is Jesus, keeps him safe, and the evil one does not touch him. We know, as a fact, that we are the children of God, and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know, as a fact also, that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life.